Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome to In the Know, the Hornets 24/7 podcast. Your knowledgeable hosts are Michael McNamara.
Me and a grizzly bear, I'm betting on me.
And me, Ryan Schwan.
I've been playing some Dungeons & Dragons because I'm really cool like that.
Let's get it started. All Hornets, all the time.
All right, so Ryan, let's get to one of your trades. You also have a trade centered around a guy who probably won't be in the NBA for a couple of years. Tell us about your trade with the Bulls.
Sure. So the Bulls, they aren't super happy with what Brewer and his couple-year contract is giving them. They don't think Watson is a solid enough point guard. I mean, I think Watson's pretty decent, but his shooting percentage is pretty low. He plays a little out of control at times. They want a player to come in who can actually, you know, run an offense for them while the few, you know, minutes that Rose isn't playing. So I have the proposition of them giving us Ronnie Brewer and C.J. Watson and the draft rights to Nikola Mirotic. And the Hornets will send them Trevor Ariza and Vasquez, giving them both a super sub wing destroyer off the bench and a decent point guard off the bench. What do you guys, who wants to take the Bulls?
I'll take the Bulls. I'll take the Bulls and I pull the trigger on this. I mean, I think you remember the old days where the adage was get as many bigs as possible. Nowadays, I think you have to discuss getting as many wing defenders as possible because you look at the teams that are the two favorites right now, Miami and OKC, and really, what do you have to do? You have to guard perimeter-oriented players, whether it's Wade and LeBron in Miami or the three-headed monster of Harden, Durant, and Westbrook in OKC. Either way, the Bulls are going to need wing defenders, and I do that trade, you know, to pick up Ariza, and the Bulls already have the best defensive unit in the NBA. That second unit of theirs is amazing. You add Ariza to that, and then in crunch time, you put Ariza and Dang on Wade and LeBron, and I think I don't think you hold on to, you know, a guy who may or may not have a small impact in Mirotic, you know, when you have a shot to go after titles this year. So if I'm the Bulls, I say that's a nine. Honestly, I'm not in love with Vasquez, but I think that their front line could hide some of his defensive weaknesses. So I pull the trigger on it if New Orleans offers.
And just give a little bit more information, too, about Mirotic, since many of you probably have no idea who he is. Mirotic's playing in Europe right now. They drafted him in the last draft. His contract basically precludes precludes him from coming over. Not this year, but he would be able to come the next season, off season. And for the Euro club, he's 23 minutes a game, scoring 13 points on 52% shooting, 44% shooting from downtown, 91% shooting from the free throw line with 5.5 rebounds a game. That's EuroLeague, so that's probably the third best league in the world behind Spanish in the NBA.
If I was the Hornets, I would take it easily. I mean, the Brewer and Watson contracts, they're not too bad. And Mirotic's potential, the fact that he's playing really well in Europe, I would take it. Even if it meant giving up Ariza, who is a young veteran, which you can't really say about too many people in the league. But, yeah, I would take it if I was the Hornets.
All right. I think that's an interesting one and one that never even crossed my mind. I actually think maybe the Bulls would – I know they need a backup point guard, but I think that they might even be more interested if you throw Bellinelli in there instead of Vasquez just because they're desperate for outside shooting. But, that's an interesting one and a guy to keep in mind. And to even back it up more, on December 30th over at Sheridan Hoops, our favorite website, they have an article saying – Mirotic is worth the wait. So if Sheridan Hoops endorses them, I do too.
Right.
Anyway, so now on to some Okafor trades. I'll start with Ryan's first. This is, again, no slight against Okafor, just really, salary situations. Ryan, how about you propose your Okafor trade?
Sure. I call up Golden State. And they don't like Biedrins very much anymore. He's not playing particularly well. His contract runs the same length of time as Okafor, except it's $9 million a year instead of Okafor's, which starts at 12 and increases. But, of course, he is about as half as productive as Okafor is. So I would call them up and say, I will give you Okafor. You send us Biedrins, and you toss Klay Thompson on top of that. I wanted to go after their draft pick. But that apparently is promised to Utah, was it?
If it's not top eight. So if it's 9 or later, which I think is a fascinating situation. I mean, you talk about a team that should tank. Golden State fans are going to be pissed when they get the 10th pick this year. No playoffs to show for it. And if they would have just lost a couple more games, they would have been drafting 7 or 8 in this loaded draft. I mean, that's a team whose fan base should be begging for the tank.
Yes.
So it's promised to Utah. So, yeah, you can't really give up that pick. So you're saying Klay Thompson is my price for taking the lesser Biedrins.
That's correct. And basically, in 3 years when you've been focusing on this, in 3 years when we might be players again, you've basically chunked off $6 million worth of salary because of Biedrins for Okafor.
All right, James, first pick on this. You take whichever team you like.
I'll take the Warriors. I've been listening a lot to the Warriors just because I think they're a similar team to the Hornets in the fact that they've got a new owner and they seem ambitious. And from everything that I've heard, they're really looking to go after a big name, even if it means short term. I mean, even if there's no long term security, they want to make some noise. So I just think that the direction that they want to go in, even if it means long-term they have no security, I just don't think Okafor is the type of player that they would go after, even if I think Mark Jackson would be inventing new quotes for Okafor's blocks and stuff. I just think that it's a trade they wouldn't do. Yeah. I'd give it a five.
Now, I mean, so you definitely prefer Okafor to Biedrins, right? I mean, similar contracts. Okay, so let's say this isn't their big splash move. It's just a slight upgrade move. What would you be willing to offer in order to make that slight upgrade? Anything? I mean, Ekpe Udo, a future pick, perhaps some lesser prospects?
Yeah, I'd probably just, throw in some guys with some upside. That maybe like a project, kind of like an Aminu or a Xavier Henry type player that they have on their roster. I mean, just from trying to put myself in their shoes. I mean, I've heard they've been very interested in Dwight Howard, even if that means that they don't get long-term stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, I probably wouldn't throw too much because, I mean, I understand that Veedrans is next to useless when it comes to his contract. And I think they, I mean, with Malone, you know, you never know with Malone whether or not they put in a good word. I definitely, if it was Veedrans and Clay Thompson, if they could get Okafor, they'd do it if they didn't think they could get a big name, but if they feel like they can, then they probably wouldn't do this trade.
Yeah. From the Hornets' perspective, I mean, when I first saw this, I didn't like it, but I think you got to unload Okafor. I wish Beadrin's contract was a little less. I think in the end I would say no, only because I could still amnesty Okafor. You know, I think Golden State is actually more likely to do it because they've already used their amnesty. So that Beadrin's contract is just killing them. You know, as Dell Demps, I still have that amnesty in my back pocket that I could possibly pull out in a couple years. If I trade for Beadrin's, I can't amnesty him. So, you know, just because I still have that in my back pocket, I don't think I'd make the trade, but I'd be tempted, and I know how much the Hornets love Klay Thompson. I don't think the Warriors had anybody else that would be worth it, but let's say with the 11th pick this year, Golden State took a guy who I absolutely loved in Kenneth Farried. And let's say he was, you know, so I would make that trade to get a young guy like that. I just personally don't think Klay Thompson is a definite future starter in this league, but I would have done it for that first round pick if Utah didn't have it. So I, good try, Ron.
I was actually, Klay Thompson is less impressive to me than the first round pick. Right. And that's actually what I was gunning for I'm trying to be able to bundle. I mean, if I have to, you guys all right?
Somebody's mixing. At least sounds like we're going to get a mixtape version of this, podcast extravaganza.
But I would trade I'm trying to bundle picks. So if I could give them like the fourth and the eighth and the 10th or 11th pick for the first, that's what I'm gunning for, is something that I could put together that again gains me the chance to get that first pick. So, I mean, originally I was hoping for the draft pick, but they don't necessarily have one. So that's a problem.
Yeah, no, but I think if they really want Okafor, I think they could come after him. And I think what about, you know, something like Okafor for Kwame Brown and Darrell Wright.
Yeah, you know, I would do that in a second.
Right, I think both teams would consider that. All right, well, let me throw up my favorite Okafor trade. And this is it's a multi-team deal, so it could get a little confusing. I'm going to try to throw up a transcript of all these trades that we proposed on the site, so you could see them while you listen along. But essentially, I watched that San Antonio-Chicago game the other day, and San Antonio was right with Chicago most of the way. But at the end, Rose just kept attacking the paint, and San Antonio had nobody who could keep him out of there. So what you want to do is you get Okafor to the Spurs. Now, the Spurs don't have enough big contracts to really make that work outside of Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson has, 3 years, about $9 million a year on there. But he's the only contract that can make it work. Obviously, the Hornets don't want that back, so you need to bring in a third team. You bring in the Lakers, and the trade goes something like this. The Spurs get Okafor, Troy Murphy, and Capono, both guys who are on one-year deals. They may or may not play. Doesn't matter. Just make salary work. So essentially, San Antonio gets Okafor. The Lakers get Richard Jefferson to finally give them at least a legitimate threat at the small forward position. And the Hornets get Luke Walton from the Lakers, who is, one of their bad contracts, just 1 year less than Jefferson. They get James Anderson from San Antonio, a guy who already is obviously not in their future plans. DeJuan Blair and Darius Morris to make contracts work. San Antonio's first rounder and the Lakers' second rounder. So again, the Spurs basically get Okafor by giving up Richard Jefferson, their first rounder, and DeJuan Blair. The Lakers get Richard Jefferson, giving up Luke Walton, expiring contracts, and their second rounder. Right. I guess one of you take the Hornets, one take the other two teams. How does each team feel about this deal?
Yeah, you go, Ron.
I'll take the Hornets. I'd do this in a second. I love DeJuan Blair and James Anderson. Luke Walton, I actually was looking at him earlier as something that you could easily throw into any trade with the Lakers, with Hornets receiving him, because he is a guy who he's considered retiring already. His contract is 2 years, $5 million a year. You don't have to play him. Getting him off of somebody else's books helps that team. He's the kind of guy you want to target when you have room to spare under the cap. So, I think this works pretty well for the Hornets. The draft picks they're getting aren't fantastic, but, who cares? They're draft picks.
Yeah, from a Lakers perspective, it does make sense that they get Richard Jefferson, a guy who can actually be someone as a shooter off Kobe. I just think that the Hornets aren't giving... you're getting Okafor off the books and not really giving up much else other than Okafor. I think if you're the Spurs, you probably do it, even though you probably, the Spurs would love... they like DeJuan Blair. And I just think, if I was the Spurs or the Lakers, I'd probably ask the Hornets to throw in just something else just to make it seem like they're giving up something else.
Yeah, so you're not mad at the deal. You're just mad that somebody else is getting off better.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You'd be like, oh, Hornets, what are you doing? Getting off.
Yeah,
So the Hornets throw in Marco Bellinelli to somebody?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think the Lakers, they still have their amnesty, so they could just amnesty Meta World Peace. Basically, all they're doing is trading out Walton for Jefferson and adding 1 year salary. It would really come down to whether or not the Spurs – prefer Okafor or Richard Jefferson, because the contracts aren't that different. And like I said, their interior is absolutely horrible, but a threesome of Duncan, Okafor, and Tiago Splitter could be pretty dangerous come playoff time. So
I will say the one thing that Richard Jefferson, the one thing I think Santonio might want to say no to about this is they were actually strongly considering amnestying Richard Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
And Duncan goes off after this year. Ginobili goes off after the year after. If they're really seriously thinking that they're not going to bring back either of those players, they're starting over, then having Okafor for 3 years doesn't help them.
Right.
But if they think that, like you said, if they think that makes them a contender this year, I think they pull the trigger.
Yeah, and I think Okafor could extend the life of Duncan. I think that'd be a big reason why they do it, just – having another defensive presence, kind of the way that Duncan had early in his career. So anyway, that was my favorite trade. Ryan, you had a really interesting four-teamer, which I know James and I were kind of taken aback by and really interested by. So why don't you lay out all the principles of that one?
Sure. So the teams involved are the Lakers, Houston, Portland, and of course the Hornets. So this is all predicated on, we already know what price the Houston Rockets are willing to pay in order to get Pau Gasol because of the draft that got nixed this summer, which is they were willing to send out Kevin Martin, Goran Dragic, Luis Scola, and I'm having a mind blank right
pick.
Now. Right, and the Knicks pick. So the Lakers, what they were looking to do is to trade Pau Gasol and be able to get back enough quantity to fill in, to cover for him and then fill in all those massive holes in their team. So, and Portland is looking for various pieces to fill in, and they're willing to give up Gerald Wallace as a piece. So here's what the Hornets do. I'll release each team what they get. So the Lakers will end up sending out Pau Gasol, and they would get in return Gerald Wallace from Portland, Luis Scola, Goran Dragic, and Jason Smith from the Hornets. So they now have two power forwards in Scola and Smitty to replace Gasol with. Dragic to upgrade their point guard position, and Gerald Wallace to vastly upgrade their small forward spot. Houston receives Gasol and Troy Murphy from Los Angeles. Murphy has to be in there to make salaries match appropriately. Uh-huh. And to make sure. So the Lakers are also actually, surprisingly enough, conscious about money this year. Murphy makes it so it's a clean wash. They only like increase their salary by like $200,000. Portland receives Emeka Okafor and Kevin Martin and Jarrett Jack. So now they have a center who can actually play next to LaMarcus Aldridge. They get a shooting guard, which they need. Wes Matthews is actually having a really down year, and they need a explosive shooting guard. Jack comes in, and this year, at least, he's an upgrade over Felton, who's having – I know a lot of people have said, oh, we should go after Felton. Felton is having a epically bad season, and Portland is done with him. So they send him to New Orleans, and New Orleans gets to send all of that stuff out. And they receive Marcus Camby, Felton, and Josh McRoberts. And those three players are all on expiring contracts. They're done this year, except for McRoberts, who goes one more year at, I think it's $2.5 million. And they also receive the Dallas's pick that was sent for Odom, and the New York Knicks pick, out of Houston. I was actually going to ask Houston for whichever of their picks is better, theirs or New York Knicks, but because of other trades, it looks like New York Knicks is probably the one that we would get. So I don't know how you guys want to split that up.
I'll take New Orleans and Houston. James, you could start first with the other two.
Okay. Well, if I'm the Lakers, I do this every single time, because yes, you're sending out Gasol, but they're upgrading in so many other areas, which they lack. For a playoff run, they definitely could use Wallace. They could use Scola. He gives you that low post option. He can shoot the ball a little bit. Dragic upgrades their point guard position, which has been bad for Howe just so many years. And for Portland, I would do it as well, because you get Kevin Martin and you get Emeka Okafor down low next to Aldridge. You know, and you get Jarrett Jack, a guy who can run the point guard, who's having a better season than Felton. So from that perspective, if I'm the Lakers or Portland, I'd do it. I mean, I don't see too many ways in which, I mean, unless the Lakers think they're clearing out salary, but I don't see that makes much sense when you've got Kobe on the money that he's on. But yeah, from those two teams' perspective, I really like the trade.
Yeah, and Houston, I agree with Ryan's premise that we've already seen that they would give up this much for Gasol. Personally, I don't get it. I wouldn't give up that much. And just on a side tangent, could somebody explain to me why Kyle Lowry is untouchable?
Huh.
When did this guy become a – I mean, everything that I see is that he's the untouchable guy on Houston's roster, and I cannot understand why for the life of me.
I think it's got something to do with all the advanced statistics and the Sloan Conference and the fact that, you know, he's just, you know, the PER and the effective field goals. And I think that's got something to do with it, just because Houston uses advanced statistics to the nth degree. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess that's fine. Houston could have Gasol for Scola and Kyle Lowry today, instead of giving up this whole bounty. But for some reason, Kyle Lowry's untouchable, and I can't understand it for the life of me. But anyway, going with Ryan's premise, he's right. We've already seen they would give this up in the past. Although I do wonder how much of that was predicated on Nene.
Right. That's my one worry, is they were willing to give all that up because they knew Nene would be coming.
Right. So they're willing. I mean, that would have slashed payroll for them to get them Nene. Now they can't get that. So, but whatever, I'll still go on that premise that they would give this up for Gasol. For the Hornets, it's really tough for me, because I love shedding Emeka Okafor. But as I said, the really tough part is that I got to give up Jarrett Jack. You know, Felton is not a long-term answer. I actually don't think Felton's that bad. He's just a lot more successful in a more wide-open and up-tempo team. I mean, he was a guy people were talking about as a possible all-star selection last year when he was with New York. So I just think it's a bad fit. But yeah, the two picks are nice. I'm assuming that New York pick will probably be around 18, the Dallas pick in the 20 somewhere. But it would be really hard for me. I guess I would try to find a way to maybe swap it around where Portland gets Dragic, I get to keep Jack, and the Lakers get Felton, because for some reason the Lakers are interested in Felton. But if I had to do this, I said, I guess I would pull the trigger to get those picks, but I'd really quickly be looking for a clubhouse leader, because I think Jack is the only one on the team that gives it to me. But I guess I'd pull the trigger if I was New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, so here's what my entire worry about this is. How does Dell spin this to season ticket holders, though? Mm. I mean, Felton has a name, I guess, but really they're giving up Okafor and Jack and Smith, and they're getting late first-round draft picks. That is, I mean, and I'm the person who hates late first-round draft picks, but again, you know, what I'm trying to do is collect first-round draft picks that I can hopefully do what, like, something like the Oklahoma City Thunder did with us, which was, you know, I'll give you the 21st and 26th, and you give us the 11th and Peterson. I don't know. It's you're not getting a whole lot back if you're New Orleans, but you're cutting salary like you wouldn't believe with this trade.
Yeah. I mean, I would say, what does he have to lose? I mean, it's not like people are knocking over the box office before games to get tickets now. I mean, a couple of the guys in this trade haven't even played in a couple of weeks. Jack's really the only game in and game out guy that you're giving up who's not on the injured list right now. So I think, you probably piss off some of the casual fans, but I think anybody who is intelligent and reads our site would be a fan of that trade.
I think he could probably get away with it just because he's not in New Orleans, he's on the road. I think he could get away with it, do it behind whoever's back and not have anyone find out.
Right. And I guess one thing that we could do in here, I mean, if we're worried that Houston, because Nene is not coming, isn't really interested in this, I mean, you could always say, like, leave them with the Knicks pick and ask Portland for their pick.
Yeah.
I mean, you got options there.
Yeah. I really think, in my mind, if I had to guess, I would think that Houston would be the team that says no to that, only because, you know, I think Gasol and Nene was a package deal, and they don't give as much up for just Gasol. But that's just my guess. On to another guy that multiple people targeted, James, in one of your trades. Also, we had I haven't put this in the Google Doc, so you guys haven't seen this. It just came in late from Eric Ingus. But Andrew Bogut, a guy who's had injury problems, but maybe you guys will disagree. I don't think many people would disagree that when healthy, he's a top 5 to 8 center. Kind of similar deals. James, you proposed Andrew Bogut for Chris Kamen and the Minnesota pick. And then we also had our reader, Eric Ingus, submitted the same exact trade, but added Aminu to it. I guess, Ryan, since you're not involved in either, from a Hornets point of view, would you do the trade getting Aminu for Kamen, the mini pick, and if I held your arm to the fire, I made you throw in Aminu as well?
Right, because Aminu would be the deal breaker. I don't think there's any value difference if you have Aminu not in or out. So here's my whole issue with this trade. Which team am I? Does it matter?
You're the Hornets, and you just basically, you got Bogut. I guess we'll add Aminu to James's trade. So Chris came in the mini pick and Aminu. Milwaukee's tired with Bogut's, you know, injury history. They just want to get something. That's what they want from you.
No, I would not do that trade.
What about without Aminu?
I would not do that trade. So I'm flat out not trading for Bogut as long as Okafor is on my team, and I don't see a quick way of getting rid of him.
How about, okay, so then fine. Same trade, but Okafor instead of Kamen.
Done in a second.
Wow. Okay. So you think Bogut is that much better than Okafor, because the salaries are pretty close, but you think Bogut is that much better that you take the injury risk? So you would rather have Bogut for 60 games than Okafor for 80?
Yes. I mean, so I'm not saying that he's 50% better than Okafor. My actual take on Bogut is I think he's a better player than Okafor. I think he's had two freak injuries. I don't consider what he – I mean, it's not like he's having consistent plantar fasciitis or he keeps tearing MCLs. He landed weirdly twice in horrible positions because he's playing hard. That's the kind of stuff that Nene was suffering early in his career, and he's been pretty consistent since then. So I think Bogut is a better player. He's probably 20 to 30% better than Okafor. The only worry I had about Bogut is his offense used to be much better, but after he did that horrible thing to his elbow, it's fallen off dramatically. I'd want to have that looked at very carefully. But I would still I would still rather have Bogut on my team than Okafor, and his salary is better. His is a flat contract. It's not increasing every year.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I'm inverse. If I'm Milwaukee, I think I'd do the trade for Kamen, but I don't for – you know what? If I'm Milwaukee, I do it for Okafor, because really, what is cap room going to get me? Nobody's coming to my team.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter. So I do it for Okafor just because, you know, I'm tired of playing this game where I hope that Bogut's going to stay healthy. At least I get a guy who plays day in and day out. The Minnesota pick – should be, you know, late lottery, you know, maybe grab somebody else with that, and then I'm getting Al-Farouq Aminu.
All right, I mean. Absolutely. So I have to bring this up. I was desperately trying to find some way to make a trade with Milwaukee that made sense for the Hornets outside of this, because I'd seen this suggestion from James. And what I'm always trying to do when I look at other teams is, what kind of crap-ass contracts do you have that go through next year that I can trade for and then get something good along with it?
Right.
Just to give you the – and I've got to say, Milwaukee's young talent is so weak that it's bad contract – and its bad contracts are so bad that I can't force myself to choke down one of their bad contracts in return for their young talent. There's just nothing I can do there that makes me excited. I mean, Steven Jackson and Drew Gooden are just horrible bad contracts.
And that's the thing that I was – when I was drawing up a Bogut trade was, I can guarantee you that the Milwaukee GM is going to say, Steven Jackson, like 20 million times to you, because he just wants to get him off his books, because that was one of the worst mistakes I think that they've ever made. So I think you're right. It's just – even if you can't get that young talent, because there isn't much on there, you know, they're just going to be barking at you for Steven Jackson. So,
right, and even the two players I'm somewhat a little bit excited about on their team, Larry Sanders and John Luehr, how many skinny, undersized power forwards do we need on the Hornets at this point? I mean, we've already got our – I mean, Ione, Smith – Landry, we've already got a mess of them. We don't need more.
Yeah, and see, the guy that I would love off their team, contract is over after. I mean, I would take a bad contract for Ersan Ilyasova, if he had a couple of years, you know, at his price on his contract. But he's a guy that'll probably get paid in the off season, and you're not having him for more than a rental. So yeah, Milwaukee's a tough team. You know, to deal with, unless you could do something with Ilyasova, you know, the way that the OKC did with Nick Collison a couple years back,
all right,
where you could give him a signing bonus this year and keep his dollars low. So, yeah, Milwaukee is going to be a tough team, but I do agree that Bogut is somebody that could kind of be that home run pick that you could pick up, and then if he stays healthy, you know, could take a team to the next level. I guess we talked about Aminu a little bit. I'll just go real quick on some Aminu trades and just have you guys, you know, kind of stop me if you like either any of them or if you think any of them are off base or the other team wouldn't do it. But, you know, a big part of my philosophy is I think if I'm the Hornets long term, I'm kind of taking the late 1980s Detroit Pistons model, and I just want to grab – I know we have a lot of young power forwards on the team now. I would love to grab a lot of bigs who just have that hardworking mentality and, you know, could do a bunch of different things. So I look over at Utah, and for some reason, you know, they want to get rid of some of their veterans to get some of the young guys playing time. I was thinking maybe Landry and Aminu for Paul Millsap. You know, Landry replaces Millsap this year. And surprisingly, again, when I was looking at teams for Aminu, I was looking at two things. One, a team that plays a faster pace. I think I know Aminu's been horrible, but I still believe that on a faster paced team, he could at least be decent. And two teams that liked him coming into the draft in 2010. Utah fits both of those. So they basically trade Landry for Millsap and then get Aminu for their troubles. And then the other Aminu trades were basically just to throw out there with, you know, other young guys that other teams were disappointed in and maybe a change of scenery. So Aminu and Bellinelli for Wes Johnson, who comes from that same draft but was just has been horrible in Minnesota. And then Aminu for Jason Thompson. Any of those trades you think either are A, possible, or B, might actually be beneficial from the Hornets' perspective?
I really like it from the Hornets' perspective. I really like Landry Aminu for Paul Millsap. I don't think Utah would do that. I mean, that's just what I think from that perspective. I think I would definitely do the Aminu for Jason Thompson one just because I actually really like Jason Thompson. He's a tremendous rebounder, very physical, down low. But, yeah, those are the, from the Hornets' perspective, the two that I like. Yeah.
So I agree. I don't think they would give Millsap for Landry and Aminu. I mean, I think Millsap, I mean, they were talking about Millsap for All-Star game. I don't think you're going to be able to, unless we like threw in the Minnesota pick, I don't think you're going to get them even interested.
Okay, so I throw in the Minnesota pick. Would you do that?
Ooh.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'd have I'd have to think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was Utah, I'd definitely be thinking hard and long and hard about it because they do have some nice big pieces. I mean, wow, I mean, that'd be an interesting one. So, Aminu for Jason Thompson. I haven't paid attention recently. How much time is Thompson actually getting on that team?
Not much. I mean, they basically brought in Chuck Hayes. They love him. Aminu was a guy that was high on the draft board. I mean, they obviously took DeMarcus Cousins that year, but they have a huge hole at small forward. And, I mean, right now they got J.J. Hickson. They've got, you know, they've got a ton of bigs on that team, none really standing out. So,
yeah, I mean, I think you might be able to get them to bite on that. And, I mean, if you get Jason Thompson for Aminu, I'd do it in a second because Thompson is an NBA player who has a role at the moment, and Aminu is not. Now, I mean, this might surprise you. I think Wes Johnson is terrible, mm-hmm. terrible. I would make that trade that you suggested anyways. Because Aminu, I'm already convinced what Aminu's ceiling is, and it's not high. And Bellinelli's probably gone after this year anyways with Xavier Henry and Gordon and other options that we'll have. So moving those for a one-year rental to see if Wes Johnson in another system can actually thrive, I think that's a reasonable trade.
Yeah,
because Wes Johnson, his contract would be done next year or the year after. Actually, no, it's team options. So,
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just two teams that just have the wrong guy for the wrong fit. I mean, I think Aminu. I disagree. I think Aminu on a fast break with Rubio looking for him and a team that goes a lot faster
I think Aminu could actually be decent for that team. That team already is the number one rebounding team in the NBA. You add Aminu to that in that second unit. I think that trade would work for Minnesota, and I think Wes Johnson would be a better fit for the Hornets.
Yeah, I mean, because Aminu, the thing that really staggers me about Aminu is that when he was playing for the Clippers, the two times he played us, he destroyed us. He got like 20 points and was doing all these crazy things. He was like, we were a slow-paced team back then as well, so you're sort of thinking, hey, you know, getting this lottery pick, and oh, how I've soured on Aminu. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, so nobody believes that Aminu with training camp's not going to matter. Nothing's going to matter for that. I mean, I'm still stuck. I know I keep saying it, but he is younger than some guys we're talking about taking in the first round. It just seems a little unfair to me, maybe, that giving up on this guy right as he's just turning the legal age to drink. But
so I mean, here's my general take, and there have been times where I'm very wrong about this, but you, in order for a player to develop who has all the physical skills, they have to have a skill level at a certain level to begin with when they enter the NBA, that it looks like, oh, if they just figure out like two or three things, like where to release their shot a little differently or add a crossover, then suddenly that they're going to be awesome. They can make the leap. But Aminu has got so many things he has to work on. And one of his number one things is just aggression. I mean, he's always hesitating. Every time he touches the ball, he hesitates. He hesitates in catching the ball sometimes and loses it. So it's just, I think there's just too much there to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and I'll take that further. I just think that, you know, it's not necessarily a matter of aggression. I just think that he doesn't exactly know what he wants to do, and he doesn't have the skill set to pull anything off, particularly in a half-court type of game. His shot, I think, Michael, you were mentioning it before, his shot actually looks like it has potential. And whenever he takes long threes, they're actually not that bad. You know, they're not like Julian Wright where you're sort of tearing your hair out or whoever else. But, you know, his shot form looks good. But it's just that, you know, he just has no idea what he wants to do on offense. And he doesn't have one or two things where you can say he can do that really well or he has the potential to do that really well. And, yeah, I guess that's what he's got to figure out.
Yeah, I've got to get David Thorpe on the line from ESPN and talk to him because one of the questions, I don't know how hard it is. I actually think Aminu could be a usable rotation player if he could learn one skill, and that is when he gets all those frickin' offensive rebounds or catches the ball under the basket, finishing. Mm. I mean, he has so many point-blank shots that are lightly contested or he has to stretch out to get off that miss completely. I mean, he just cannot finish any of those chippy shots. And if he can learn, that's something that he could learn. If he gets stronger, he could overpower someone and put it down. If that's something he could learn, maybe. But even then, that doesn't make him an awesome role player. That makes him a marginal role player.
I'm gonna say this. I don't know how popular of an opinion it'll be. But I really think that about 60% of why Hornets fans and maybe some of us have given up on Aminu so quickly is because of his disposition. I really believe that if he had Vazquez's showmanship, the fire, the yelling, the facial, the facial mannerisms, I really think Hornets fans would be more forgiving and say he's just young. I think because he has that laid back type of personality and appearance on the court, I honestly believe that's a huge reason why people have given up on him. And that just, I don't know, that doesn't make much sense to me. I think he has a lot to work on, but to me, DeAndre Jordan, right around the same age, was maybe one of the worst NBA basketball players I'd ever seen in my life. And I understand he's a 7-footer, whatever, but you want to talk about a guy who has a lot of things to work on. That's a guy right there. But, you know, in the right system with the right point guard, with the right things around him, you know, those few things that he can do exceptionally well just got him $11 million this year. So
I don't know. I think people see the – I think the demeanor is a huge part of it, and I think people are saying that he won't be able to grow just because he doesn't get mad on the court, because honestly, he – I mean, somebody on our Twitter account says that every time they see him, I mean, it looks like his dog just died. And I don't think that has anything to do with basketball. I've seen guys who have that disposition who are fine. Not everybody has to, you know, be running around wild and crazy and show their emotions on their face like the sad clown Jared Jack.
I will say this. I mean, I want him to succeed. Every time I'm watching him, I'm looking at him. I want him to do well. I'm looking for progress, signs of progress. You know, it's just sort of one of those things where you just want him to have sort of something that sort of clicks, and I'm just looking for that one thing that where he can click, but I haven't seen it from him so far. It's got nothing to do with his personality. I just, every time I watch him on the basketball court, it's sort of tough to find something where you can say, you know, he can do this really well, and he just needs to gain that confidence, I guess. But, you know, that'll come with time.
It's just that everybody seems to love Vasquez, and I don't know how many people know, Vasquez is only a year and change younger than Chris Paul. Vasquez doesn't have much upside. I'm sorry. I mean, basically the guy we see now is the guy that's going to be here, and people just seem to love him and think he's a huge part of the future when he's, you know, more than 4 years older than Aminu. So
he is the backup point guard of the future.
Yeah.
Me.
That's right.
Playing the Harlem Globetrotters next. all right, so I guess final trade we'll get to. It's one of James's trades. It's the one that I would love most. I guess I'll be giving it away. I'm taking the Wizards here. I don't know how possible it is, but I would absolutely love this. The Hornets get Rashard Lewis, who obviously is on a horrible contract, and the Wizards' first-round pick in exchange for Kamen and Landry, essentially two expirings, and the Minnesota pick. I guess Ryan, you're New Orleans. Washington calls you with this offer. What do you say?
So he's being paid $22 million next year or something like that.
Right, but I will say that there is an option where whoever has Lewis could just pay. It's basically non-fully guaranteed. So you could pay $10 million and get him off the books.
Is that through a trade or is that?
No, he has it's in his contract. It's not a fully guaranteed last year. So Washington could either A, amnesty him and have nothing against the cap, B, just pay the $21 million and have that against the cap, or C, pay the $10 million. That'll be on the cap, but then he'll just be gone as a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
So the Hornets would be able to get Lewis and basically just have a $10 million buyout next year. So anyway, Ryan, you're New Orleans.
And I get Washington's pick free and clear? Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
I mean, I'm not even going to think about that. I mean, especially as soon as you said the $10 million thing, I'm saying I would do that instantly. When I'm looking at a big, huge, you know, $22 million thing, I'm close to choking on it. I probably still would do the deal if I can convince my new owner to do that deal. I don't know if David Stern would sign off on it. I think if you go back and say, well, he's only going to cost us $10 million next year, and we get the first, you know, their first round pick, which is, you know, got the best chance in the league other than Charlotte to be number one, I think you do that.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's a power play that I don't know who Rashard Lewis's agent says, but, you know, basically says if this deal's going down, New Orleans, we're going to make you take on the full contract. Well, I don't know if that could work, but I think in either situation, if I'm New Orleans, I'd do that. To me, if I'm Washington and you call me with the same deal, I counter with the option to trade the Hornets and the Wizards first round pick. And that's it. That's all I'm going to offer you to essentially take on Rashard Lewis, is that I will give you the option to trade your pick, the New Orleans Hornets pick, with my pick, Washington's pick. If you finish higher than me anyway, oh, tough cookies. But what if I countered you with that?
the only thing that you get for taking on that extra year of Rashard Lewis is the option to trade your first round pick with mine. What would you say?
I would say yes if you throw in if there is no trade of if mine's better than yours, you give me your second round pick and then I'd have it be a done deal.
You got to squeeze that second round pick out there.
That's right. Got to get that.
Is there somebody you're targeting in the early second round? You
squeeze
want to let
that lemon.
No, but I mean I don't want to go back and look like a complete dweeb. And I know second round picks are worth less than nothing.
Right.
But I could at least go out there and say, yeah, well, if it doesn't work out, I just increased my odds by 20% to land the first pick in the draft, and you know, and I got a second round pick if that doesn't work out.
Yeah, no, I know some readers on the site are screaming out Scott Machado right now. So I'll just say it for them. So. So you get Scott Machado, you know, for that. But yeah, no, that was...
I can't wait.
I'm telling you, people are in love with the Machado. But yeah, no, that's an interesting premise. And
yeah, I really like that one, James.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting one.
Yeah, and who knows? I mean, maybe Kamen and Landry. That team is so... I mean, honestly, just watching this week, I want the Hornets to get Anthony Davis, of course, but from a pure parity situation, like the Hornets aren't nearly as bad off as the other four or five teams in that bottom six. I mean, it's a sizable difference between the Hornets playing their best and some of these other bottoms. I mean, even watching Toronto, I know they beat us with, you know, the majority with five starters essentially hurt for the Hornets, but Toronto, even if they get Anthony Davis, like to me, that team, Charlotte, there's some lost franchises out there that I don't think will even be able to do much, even if they get a game changer like Davis. So I'm just saying, just give them to us. That's
right. You guys are screwed anyways. So
yeah, that was my plea to the horrible franchise. No, I think this has been great. I think that we kind of tackled anything. I think we pretty much talked about all 450 players on the league. Scouting report, but I guess so. These are kind of our hopes, our plans. Let's just go to predictions. James, I'll start with you. You don't maybe necessarily have to give us specific players or picks or teams or whatever, but if you had to guess, kind of give us the outline of what do you see going down for the Hornets between now and March 15th.
Well, I think the obvious thing is that Kamen gets traded for something. I mean, honestly, it's a deal that has to be done, I think. I mean, the fact that we took him out of our team and then put him back on our team, if that's not, you know, sort of making it obvious, then I don't know what else is. But if I had to say, I think that we probably get another first-round pick and then sort of maybe take on an average contract, an average kind of player in the league. I think that the one thing that I will hang my hat on is that Chris Kamen gets traded.
And just before we move on to Ryan, if I were to tell you that the Hornets did get somebody to take Okafor's contract, would that make you a little more reluctant to trade Kamen? And if you couldn't trade Kamen, what would be your Dell Demps? Okafor's gone. You're Dell Demps. What do you offer Chris Kamen in terms of a contract, if you even do offer him one moving forward?
Well, if we did trade Okafor away, I'd probably try and offer Chris Kamen a sort of 2 to 3 year deal. You know, anywhere in the range of, you know, eight million or something, 8 to 10 maybe. But then again, you sort of say to yourself, well, let's reassess that. We've got the hard cap coming in. What a player's value is going to be in 3 years' time. And that's probably why I would make it a shorter deal, probably preferably a 2 year deal rather than, say, a 3 or 4 year deal. But okay. If we did trade Okafor, I would probably consider keeping Kamen for a shorter deal.
Okay, let's say we do trade Okafor. We've been playing this who says no game the whole day. Who says no if Dell actually goes the other way and says, here you go, Kamen, 4 years, $26 million, every single year is 6.5, it doesn't escalate. Who says no to that deal?
I don't.
So right now we're hearing that James Grayson would play for the Hornets for 6.5 a year. Do you think that's something that is reasonable for both sides?
For how much per year?
4 years, $26 million. $6.5 million a year for all 4 years.
No, I think Kamen says no to that.
Yeah, you do?
Said no. Yeah.
See, I disagree. I mean, you look at the deal Dalembert get. You looked at the semi-hard cap coming in. I think he gets a lot of 1 and 2 year offers on the open market. I think when you get a chance to take $26 million guaranteed with that injury history, you have to. And from the Hornets' perspective, I mean, if you do grab a stud center who develops and Kamen's a backup in 2 or 3 years, I don't think that's a horrible salary where you're kicking yourself if Kamen is your backup. But anyway, Ryan, we heard James's prediction. What do you think goes down if you had to guess between now and March 15th for the Hornets?
I think my prediction is the same as James. I mean, I really think that's going to be Dell's focus. Honestly, all these huge blockbusters that we're talking about, I don't expect to see any of them happen. I think the Hornets will trade a couple of marginal players. So I think the players that we will have the best chance of going somewhere are Okafor. Kamen, Landry, and Bellinelli. I think those three guys would have each a 40% chance of leaving the team, and Kamen probably more like a 60% chance.
Hmm.
I don't really expect to see any other major changes on this team.
You say that now, but I can guarantee you, in 5 days' time, we hear this blockbuster trade involving the Hornets. Just the way that things work.
Right. Right. Dwight Howard's going to be traded, and somehow we're going to be in there as, picking up like we did with, some marginal player who you're not really sure is better than Xavier Henry or not.
We have our certificates. We're certified now by Mike McNamara.
Right.
And by the way, so far we have 12 members of the graduating class. Get on Hornets 24/7 and take your trade certification test, because if you do not pass it and do not get a certificate, I will delete every trade made by erroneous. I'm so sick of seeing Paul George for Chris Gaiman trades. You will be deleted, and I will not apologize for it. So here's my question, Ryan. You kind of listed the guys that you think are most likely to get traded. Where would you put the Minnesota pick as far as a percentage chance to be traded? And the only reason I bring this up is because it seems like a lot of teams are really valuing first-round picks from the perspective of Indiana could have had Kamen for their first-round pick, which will be in the mid to late 20s. They could have had that trade a month ago. Mm-hmm. And, they obviously value a mid-20s pick for a guy who could come in and just give them tons of production off the bench. If that's true, is there any way the Hornets move that mini pick just so they could get out of, I guess we could get out of this state of tracking the Timberwolves and just get something for that now? Do you see there any chance of them trading that pick in one of these deals?
I mean, absolutely. It's something that's going to have to be on the table. I don't think that it's going to be one of the top assets that are put out there. I mean, you're going for more picks, so you don't trade better picks in general for worse picks. And that's kind of what I think is going to be happening, is the Hornets trying to get those late first round picks in return for these players. And I mean, you don't sweeten that kind of deal with a better pick.
Right, but I mean, my only thing is, okay, let's say the Hornets walk into the next year's draft with 3 or 4 picks. I mean, you've got a young guy, or sometimes two young guys, at every single position on this team.
Right.
I don't know how much more youth. If you're talking about marginal youth, if you're talking about C players, I mean, really, a point guard drafted at number 26 this year, how much infinitely better is he going to be than Vasquez? Or a shooting guard taken at number 26? how much better of a prospect is he going to be than Henry, who he's probably going to be the same age as? I don't know about adding these picks where you already have so much youth at every position. A number 26 power forward is not going to be better than Gustavo. So I don't know. I don't understand in just getting these marginal young assets.
Yeah. Right. The only way – so just this is my logic. I think the Hornets are only going to trade around the margins with Landry, Kamen, and Marco. And those kind of trades are just trading them away for a draft pick. And I just don't think it's very likely the Hornets are going to trade away any of their real players. If they do trade away a real player, that Minnesota pick being included in it, I think is an extremely likely situation, because they're going to be trading away one of their players plus a pick to hopefully get a better player or a better pick.
Yeah, I would say that with the later picks, I think you also have to take into consideration the European scouting that Demps and perhaps some of the other scouts that he has going around Europe. Just getting one of those players that you can sort of put away in Europe for a couple of years and have them develop a little bit more. I think that's something that is something that probably is going under the radar, and I think it's, you know, where he could draft a guy where you say, listen, he's, you know, Spurs type system, put him in Europe, let him develop, and, you know, I think that's where he could try and go after those late 20 picks, which is why I'm surprised he was trading away second round picks so easily, because I don't think we have too many in the future.
No, not at all. Yeah, no, that's a good point you bring up. With the Europeans, I mean, this isn't a very... this definitely isn't the level of draft from the international side as we've seen in previous years, but there are a couple of guys that Dems could definitely do that with. But I don't know, maybe I just have a different expectation. I don't think Landry is going anywhere. I do think that I don't think Dems would trade Kamen for essentially a second rounder. I think there's some benefit in having Kamen's bird rights, possible sign and trade type things. I don't think a second rounder would be worth it, and I don't see enough teams stepping up to the plate, which I think is idiotic. I mean, I think there's teams that could really use them, but the rent-a-player thing has just not been popular in the NBA. I really think, and maybe it's just hopeful, that a Mecca could and will be the guy to go as Dems thinks more about it, and certain teams that are kind of making their push for these next couple of seasons, while, you know, the Western Conference is wide open, and if you're San Antonio, why not just go for it over the next 2 or 3 years? I mean, really blowing that thing up, doesn't seem to make much sense, because you're not going to get anything for Ginobili, only has a year left. So I don't know. I guess I'm going the other way. I think Okafor's out of here, and I think they might have to throw in the mini pick or some other asset just to get him out the door. But I guess that's where I'm going to go. Kind of a curveball out of nowhere, as Dell is known to do. I think Okafor is the main guy traded. Or Trevor Ariza to the Lakers. That's it. I think it's one of those.
Okay, so got anything else to add, James, or are you good too?
No, I think we've covered just about everything.
Okay.
Oh, wait, breaking news, Grievous Vasquez just tweeted Chipotle.
Oh.
You know what it means? I think we can look into it. We can dissect it in a multitude of different ways. Grievous Vasquez tweeting Chipotle. We'll have more on that on Hornets 24/7 later this week.
Is he being traded for a tub of guacamole? Oh.
I don't know, but it's not a bad. I love the queso over there.
Yeah, I might do that. All right, so thanks everybody for listening to In the Know. This will be split into two parts, so you'll probably hear this sign off twice. But have a good time.
And have a good time.
Introducing Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, blending the smooth, creamy nitro taste of Guinness with hints of coffee, chocolate, and caramel. Guinness Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Beer, your new favorite part of the day. Look for it where Guinness is sold. Must be 21 and over to purchase. Please enjoy responsibly. Diageo Beer Company, New York, New York.